Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Bob Stauffer in Ice District at Rogers Place. Very sad day for the city. Two EPS members murdered today in the line of duty. And we'll have ongoing coverage for you throughout the course of the afternoon here on 630 CHED on the half-hour updates with Randy Kilburn. If you're looking for more information, Global News Radio 880 Edmonton has it for you as well. The Edmonton Oilers organization putting out a tweet a little over an hour ago. We are deeply saddened to hear about the two Edmonton police officers that have lost their lives in the line of duty. Our condolences go to the families and loved ones of Constable Brett Ryan and Constable Travis Jordan, as well as the entire EPS family, who have always been our valued partners. The Oilers are staunch supporters of the Edmonton police and all first responders. We will be honoring Constable Ryan and Constable Jordan during tonight's game at Rogers Place. These fallen heroes have made the ultimate sacrifice to keep our community safe, and we will never forget. And I know a lot of you listening right now have friends that are first responders or involved with EPS. I've already relayed several of the guys that I've either broadcast during my days as the sports information director at the University of Alberta, ended up with either the EPS or with the RCMP, and my neighbor at one time was the police chief, next-door neighbor, Leroy Cholley. He was an old-school guy that certainly had a real interesting take on life, and we've been, relatively, historically speaking, quite fortunate in this city. Over the last 100 years, five police officers have been, killed in the line of duty involving firearms. That's in 100 years in our city, but nonetheless, today is a very difficult day in Edmonton. That said, we got a game, and we got a game between the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars, and it's going to be a good one. And the second hour of Oilers Now is brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer, the ideal place to start your daily vacation. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Get the new floors you've always wanted at Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. You can reach us on the River Cree Resort Casino hotline, 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort Casino, excitement, bet on it. Edmonton and Dallas tonight. For a look at the Stars, we're going to go to our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. And we welcome to the show Saad Youssef from The Athletic out of Dallas. I'm a big fan of the work that The Athletic does. We've had James Myrtle on the show multiple times, Mike Russo as well, and we'd like to welcome Saad to the show. Saad, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been an interesting season for the Stars. It's been an interesting year in the league where you've seen some coaches get some new starts and new locations and make the most of it. And is it fair to say that Jim Neal clearly has made the right call by bringing in a guy like Peter DeBoer, who's had a lot of success in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first to begin, I would say Jim Neal has clearly made a lot of good decisions when it comes to coaching. When you look at what Lindy Ruff is doing in New Jersey, what Jim Montgomery is doing in Boston, what Rick Bowness is doing in Winnipeg, there's a lot of former Stars coaches that are in the playoff picture, if not at the top of their division. So, but yeah, Pete DeBoer, you know, the latest one to be a Stars head coach. And yeah, you know, they're the Stars on the top of the division, top of the conference as well, or near the top of the conference. And I think, you know, Pete DeBoer is exactly what the Stars needed at this time. He's a coach that doesn't neglect the offense. The Stars already had a good defensive structure in place with what Rick Bowness kind of brought the last couple of years, but Pete DeBoer was able to take that, maintain some of the structure, most of the structure, but also inject a lot more offense into it. And, you know, you could see that across the board, but I think if you're looking for, you know, one example of that, you just look at Miro Heiskanen, whose career high was for an 82-game pace was 36 points, which he did last year. And you know, he's on pace for 71 this year, so he's on pace to double it. So I think Pete DeBoer has brought a lot of offense to this team and maintained a lot of the defense.
Saad, I mean, I look at that 2017 draft, and it's just because you mentioned Heiskanen, and, you know, they ended up getting Ottinger late in that first round, And then they hit the home run with Jason Robertson, you know, in the second round. There were people that thought Dallas was going to get long a tooth, and eventually, you know, there's a, in theory, in a cap system, there should be a cyclical nature to success in the league. And, you know, they had Jamie Benn and they had Sagan, and I realize Benn's had a bounce-back campaign this year, but those guys haven't been what they once were. How much is that 2017 draft really sort of built, rebuilt a new foundation for Dallas as an organization?
Oh, it's been everything. I mean, you know, you get a number one Hart Trophy candidate. I mean, if a guy named Connor McDavid didn't exist, then Jason Robertson might be in the would be at the top of the conversation for the Hart Trophy this year. And then you have Miro Heiskanen, who's probably one of the most underrated players in the NHL, I would say, and Jake Oettinger, who, again, if not for Linus Ullmark, is probably getting a lot of Vezina consideration this year. So, yeah, that draft definitely, I would say, saved the Stars franchise in a lot of ways because, as you said, I mean, you look around the league, whether you look at what, you know, Vancouver, Chicago, Detroit. I mean, Detroit's in, what, like a year eight of that rebuild, whatever. Like, you're right. You go up and then you come back down. And Dallas has really been able to stay afloat because of that 2017 draft in which they got, you know, Miro. And then Jake Oettinger, that's the only time in Jim Mill's career that he's ever traded up in the first round for any player. And they got Oettinger there and the Blues were going to take him. So I think, you know, when you look at that and then Jason Robertson, the knock against him was his skating, and you look at it now and, you know, he has basically everything else that you would want for in a player. So that draft was huge. And I think, you know, the Stars in general have been drafting pretty well. The 2021 draft, by the way, could have a similar, not, I mean, that's a franchise changing draft, but when you look at what Wyatt Johnston's doing and Logan Stankoven coming up next year, the 2021 draft will also be a nice supplement for this franchise.
I'm telling you right now, I thought Logan Stankoven, he had a chance to make the team this year. Like, and it's not lost on anybody. You are in oil country here. This is hockey country. People know fully well of the ownership connection between Dallas and Kamloops and who's hosting the Memorial Cup. And by the way, Logan Stankoven isn't the only Dallas pick that's having a pretty good go here of late. Matthew Semenoff, who is out of Coquitlam, B.C., is a six-round pick in the 22 draft. I think he had a 6 or 7 point game last night. I stopped looking after it was 8-0 for Kamloops over Victoria, who's in a full-blown rebuild, much like the Edmonton Oil Kings. But Stankoven, we all saw what he could do during the World Juniors. He was terrific. They're obviously they're doing something right. You know what I'm saying, Saad? In terms of from a draft perspective.
Yeah, and you know, I literally just stayed 5 days in Kamloops and just came back from that trip yesterday. 5 days to stay with Logan Stankoven and Semenoff, watch both of them and you know, really observe them. And you're absolutely right. That, you know, Semenoff is a guy that, you know, sixth round pick, you don't hear too much about him. And I think Logan Stankoven, if his previous year hadn't been wiped out by COVID, probably goes in the first round as well. Dallas, no team should have been able to get Wyatt Johnson and Logan Stankoven in the same draft, but Dallas managed to do it, and it's really paying dividends for them.
There's another guy I'd actually like to ask you about, and he's got quite similar numbers. And these two guys were teammates last year in Shawinigan, and that is Maverick Bork, who played with Xavier Borgo, who's a little bit nicked up right now with the Bakersfield Condors, has got 13 goals and 31 points in 56 games. And Maverick Bork, after last night, he was playing for Texas against Bakersfield, has 12 goals and 33 points in 56 games. These guys drove each other, and they got Shawinigan all the way to the Memorial Cup last year. Bork, when I watched the two, and I watched Shawinigan a fair amount last season, when I watched him, I got to tell you, Saad, I thought Bork was the driver. I thought he's a guy, he's not the most explosive skater, but he too is another real good late first round pick for the Stars.
Yeah, and last year when I was in the draft for Montreal, talking to a bunch of scouts, and you know, at this point, neither Johnston, Stankoven, or Bork had made the jump to pro hockey. Of the three-headed monster, as we called it in Dallas, of those three forwards, a lot of scouts felt that Maverick Bork was going to be the best. And now, obviously, Wyatt Johnston is having a very, very, very good rookie year. Calder, you know, it should be a Calder candidate. But yeah, I think Maverick Bork, he had a little bit of a rough start in the AHL this year. His season got off. It was a bit of an adjustment from junior hockey to pro hockey. But he's been on a consistent trend upward. And you know, he's looking like he's probably going to make a fight for the Stars roster next year. And so, yeah, they could be with Bork, Stankoven, and Johnson. You could have all three of those really late first-round value picks for the Stars, even though Stankoven was the second-rounder.
How much of this starts in goal with Ottinger? I mean, we saw what he did against the Flames. Now, I know you know the numbers. The Flames are a high – Daryl Sutter's teams have always been a high-volume shooting team. That's and so the save percentage would look great. But he's at 920 this year on a Stars team that – is a, you know, six, I'm just taking a look at it here, basically a top 10 team all season in terms of shot differential. I think they're 11th in the league in shots against. It does start there, doesn't it, for Dallas?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And you know, you look back to that Calgary series, and I think that's, you know, that was, everyone kind of saw that it was a historic performance from Ottinger, and it was like the question all summer, especially as he was up for a contract, was, you know, was that a blip on the radar? And then he come out and he came out, and the first month of the season, he had better numbers in the first month of the season than he did against Calgary. And you know, he's dealt with a couple of injuries, and you know, he's been dealt an unfortunate hand in the sense that the Stars' backup goalie situation has been in flux because of injury, so he's had to take on a stronger load. But when you look at just the way that he plays, he is the backbone of this team, and you're right, it all starts in net for Dallas with Jake Ottinger, just as it has really throughout history, whether you look at, you know, Ben Bishop before him, Anton Hudobin during the Stanley Cup run. It starts in net, and Jake Ottinger is one of the best.
Mason Marchment last year, Brad Holland, who is now the Oilers director of pro scouting, I remember him texting me a couple times and saying he's going to pop stuff at some point during the year. Well, he ended up popping, and he had 47 points in 54 games. Todd, he has had and I know he's out right now with a lower body issue, but Mason's had a pretty interesting season because he went a long time without scoring, didn't he?
Yeah, 32 games without scoring. I mean, he did 32 straight games. So he went from December 13th until just last week, until he finally broke out and scored against the Colorado Avalanche two weeks ago. But it's been tough, and you know, I wouldn't put it all on Mason, to be honest. He gets a lot of flack for that, and I understand it. But you know, the problem is that the Stars haven't been able to find that third member to complete that line. They've had Mason Marchment and Tyler Seguin, but Dennis Gurianov flamed out, you know, a while back. But like, you know, he was a disappointment this season again. And then when the Stars went out and got Max Domi, in the first game that Domi played as a Star, that's when Mason Marchment broke his goal drought, and he's been scoring ever since. Now it's unfortunate that now that Domi is here, Seguin and Marchment are both out with injuries. But Marchment is a solid middle six player. I think, you know, you have to make sure that he's playing the right role, that he's not overexposed. But I think in the solid middle six role, he's a fine player and brings a physical presence that Dallas doesn't really have in terms of his size and playing style.
I think we're going to see Hanley in again tonight. Yanni Hakanpaa, who Vincent Desharnais from Edmonton bears a bit of a resemblance to, a big 6'6", sort of late bloomin' and right shot D. But I want to ask you about Nils Lundqvist, because that was a really interesting trade that Dallas made with the New York Rangers, especially given the lack of traction Lundqvist had in the Rangers organization. From your perspective, how has he performed this year for Dallas?
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster a little bit. And you know, it was an interesting trade because that's also the first time in Jim Nill Stars' GM tenure that he gave up a first-round pick in a trade. So, you know, that was in a decade. So it's been a while. And Lundqvist, you know, he's been a healthy scratch. This is his third stretch of games where he's been a healthy scratch. I think the first was earlier in the season, then the second time was in January, and now this is the third stretch. And it's part of the development. I think the problem is that Dallas is so short on right-handed defensemen that they've had him kind of developing his game on the fly in the NHL. He's 22 years old, the same age that Thomas Harley is, which is Dallas's top defenseman prospect. The only difference is that Harley's developing down in the AHL, so you don't see all the bumps and bruises as much as you do with Lundqvist. I think the Stars organization is still high on Lundqvist. They still think that he's going to be well worth the first-round pick. He's part of their future. But this is also a team that's trying to win right now. And Lundqvist, you know, the Stars' bottom, I would say, out of their seven defensemen, the bottom four or five, really after Haskinen, Miller, and Lindell, you can make an argument for any one of them being a healthy scratch on any given night. And Lundqvist certainly has an argument to be in the lineup. It's just, you know, the Stars believe that, you know, him watching a little bit and then injecting himself back in the lineup is kind of the best path for development for him.
Saad, you know, when you're getting old, I did Thomas Harley's dad, Brian Harley. He was in medical school playing at the University of Alberta. He was their third-string goalie. I did his games back in the early 1990s as well. Thank you for joining us on Oilers Now. Love reading your stuff on The Athletic.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And also just want to extend my condolences as well to the tragedy that you mentioned off the top. You know, it's just, that sounds like a very unfortunate situation. Hadn't heard of that. And you know, deepest condolences and thoughts and prayers to everybody involved.
All right. That is Saad Youssef joining us. He writes for The Athletic out of Dallas. Evander Kane is coming up on Oilers Now. Sit down one-on-one with him. Guests on the show receive gift cards to Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite teppanyaki steak restaurant. Come in and check out their new location at 3975 Calgary Trail. We'll be back with the Oilers Now Prospect Report and our conversation with Evander. All right, we are going to get right into our one-on-one sit-down conversation with Edmonton Oilers forward Evander Kane. Evander, you've been back now for a couple games. How are you feeling out there?
Feeling good. Definitely better than the last time I came back, just with the long breaks in between games and whatnot that I had. But nice to get back playing some hockey. You know, tonight I think it's game four. So, again, just trying to continue to build on my game and get better each and every night.
How difficult is it to try to stay in shape, given the context of, you know, game shape? And, you know, pain in the ass, skating every day, given the context of the two injuries you had, one which was obviously the wrist injury, and then the undisclosed, somewhat disclosed...
Broken ribs, Bob. It was broken ribs. Yeah, there you are.
See, in my case, I always say it's sprained fat for me when that happens, but that's where if you have an extra layer, Evander, it can help you out, but with all seriousness, you know, how challenging is it to stay in shape while you're going? I mean, they are two entirely different injuries.
Yeah, you know, they are very different injuries, obviously. You know, I think I was probably over skating at sometimes when I had my wrist injury. I started skating 3 weeks after and had 2 full months of bagging, for lack of a better term. And you know, this past one, I took some time to rest a little bit more and you know, skated for a couple of days and got right back into it. I think, you know, being in shape really wasn't the issue. It's more just, again, getting back in a rhythm of the season, timing, playing with the same guys over and over and over again. You know, it's only been 3 games, but that type of stuff helps. It really does, especially with timing and getting a rhythm back and a feel for things. And when good things happen on the ice, just builds confidence.
I believe you initially suffered the injury in the first game against Detroit. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You fought Brady Tkachuk in the next game. Just take us through the mind. Like, screw it, I'm fine. I can deal with this. I can play through this. Because that guy's a legit guy.
Yeah, I think... obviously, when I didn't know if they were broken at that point in time, I felt there was definitely something wrong, whether they were cracked or it was just one rib. But, you know, I'd just been out for almost 3 months, so I didn't really have any interest of going back and sitting out. So I wanted to see if I could play through it. I did for about a week and a half there, and they weren't getting any better. They were just getting worse. And, you know, I got to the point where I'm avoiding contact on the ice, trying not to get involved as much, and, you know, really unable to do much out there. So I thought it was best to take a week or two, let them heal, and come back and help the team the way I know I can.
Any hesitation dropping the gloves coming off the wrist injury?
No, not at all. I mean, I haven't had a fight in to that point, like 2.5-3 years. So, to be honest, even though I was hurt, I figured, you know what, I'm just sick of this. Let's get into one and get it over with, so I can remind myself of what I'm doing.
All right. Tonight, an opportunity against Dallas. I mean, they're a pretty good team. You missed. Did you miss?
No, I played against.
Played in the first game.
Played in the first game. Missed the game in Dallas.
That was the father's trip, and the team played really well in that game. Obviously, an opportunity for you guys to build on the other night.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Dallas is a team that, you know, while they're in a different division, we're trying to chase them down too. You know, the conference is up for grabs. These points are obviously incredibly important to both teams, and they're a team that plays a hard, heavy game. They're hard on the forecheck. They got some big, strong centers down the middle, and we're going to have to be ready to go. I think they beat us in our building earlier on in the year, and we want to get a little payback tonight.
There you go. That's Evander Kane of the Edmonton Oilers. The folks at Brent Ridge Ford, you can start your new vehicle journey with them. The dealer doesn't forget about you after the purchase at Brent Ridge Ford. If you value fair treatment and full transparency, you can call Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny and the Gang at 780-352-6048. 12-time President's Diamond Club Award winners for customer satisfaction. Brent Ridge Ford is your Ford truck authority on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. They reached out to us as well, and they wanted to extend their condolences to everybody involved with the EPS on today's tragedy. More coming up with Randy Kilburn at 1:30, a global news weather traffic update. John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling when we return in Oilers Now.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.